What a great honor it is to be in the house of the Lord. I appreciate Brother Eugene allowing me the opportunity to preach, and I'm scared to death. But I'm going to say this. Brother Eugene said it as Dustin was singing, but I'll say it while I'm preaching. You need to pray. You come and pray. Don't wait. Don't put it off. You will not interrupt me. You will not interrupt the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, we need to pray. So if you turn your Bibles, very familiar scripture probably to most of us that's been in revival. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. But while you're turning there, our secretary at the church put this in the bulletin a couple weeks ago, and I want to read it. It said, someone called a pastor to say that he wanted to join the church. But he went on to explain that he did not want to worship every week, study the Bible, visit the sick, witness to non-Christians, or serve as a leader or teacher. The pastor commended him for his desire to join, but told him that the church he sought was located in another section of town. The man took the directions to the other church and hung up. When he arrived at the other church, the man came face to face with the logical result of his own apathetic attitude. There stood an abandoned church building, boarded up, and ready for demolition. You know, we hear terms like this in the Christian world. Oh, we need a breakthrough. You know, I've said that in my own Christian life. We've said it at the church. We need a spiritual breakthrough for the church. We need a revival in the church. We need God's Spirit in the land that we live in. Listen, let's be honest, we need a revival in the United States. But the problem is we're like the guy that wanted to join the church and do nothing. Boy, that's a nice way to start off a sermon, isn't it? But listen, if we're to have a breakthrough, if we're to have a revival, you know, this is, and I really thought I'd be preaching from another passage. I told my wife when I was asked to preach, I said, I know where I'm going to preach from, Psalms 51. And this week the Lord said, not there. So that's why we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 12. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place, the temple, to be this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty persuaded of this. You know, Brother Eugene and myself kind of going through some similar things. He started a little bit earlier than I did, but he stepped into a pastorship of a church that had a pastor for a long time. And I'm going to say this, a great pastor. Brother Lester has been a blessing. I can remember the first time I went, this is going to tell how old I am, to Unity Free Will Baptist Church is when they were down, I believe, off of Denison, Dearborn. That was a long time ago. But, you know, but I want you to know something. The people that attend this church, they want the presence of God to continue on, no matter who stands behind the sacred desk, no matter who is bringing the Word of God. We want the presence of God in the house of God. And, you know, I'm here tonight. My pastor of 40 years is here, and thank God for Brother Denver and the ministry that he had in my life. But I want you to know something. Our church wants the same thing. We want the Spirit of God to be in our church. We want to see the church grow. We want to see it prosper. What is it going to take? By the help of the Lord, I'm going to preach on that tonight. Out of verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I've got 5 points tonight. Figure about an hour each point will be good. The first one is going to be remember. The second one is respect. The third one is respond. The fourth one is repent. And the fifth one is we need to realize the response. And by the help of the Lord, I'm going to preach on that. He starts out in verse 14, if my people, who is his people? Listen, the scripture teaches us, and I hope just by this point alone that I can give our adversary a black eye. Do you realize that we've got an adversary that will tell us that we are nothing and we are a nobody, that we are wasting our time? Now listen, I don't know if Brother Eugene has ever experienced this, but there are times when I've come to the house of God, I preach the very best that I know how, I walk out of the church and the old devil be there and saying, you know what, they didn't listen to a word that you had to say. You might as well just give it up. You might as well hang it up. Nobody cares about you anyways. You are a nothing and a nobody. But I want you to know something, that scripture says, if my people, the first thing that we need to do, church, we need to remember who we are. Bless God. The Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not, but to as many others that received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Bless God, I am a nobody. I am a child of God. My God reigns upon the throne of heaven. I am somebody in the name of Jesus. Bless God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Bless God, I'll tell you what, Satan, you're a liar. I am somebody. Bless God, I'll tell you what. Maybe I'll just preach the first point. I want you to know something. God called me out of a world of sin, and now I'm one of his children. I'm on my way to heaven, and God loves his children. Amen. We need to, church. Whew. We need to remember who we are. We are children of God. And God loves, boy, if you being evil, how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, know how to give good gifts. Bless God, I'll tell you what, God has been good to me, and I'm one of his children, and I'll tell you, I love my Father. So we need to remember who we are. But you know, with great blessings come great responsibility. Now listen, I wasn't going to tell this, but I'm going to tell it. When I was about 2 years old, my dad left. Gone. One day when I was about 27, I got home from work, and my wife guess who called? How do you guess who called? I said, well, I don't know. Who called? She said, your dad. And my first response was Jim, because that was my stepfather. She said, no, your dad. And I'm telling you, I was taken back. 2 years old to 27 years old, never hearing a word or anything from him. And after a few conversations, we finally, my older brother and myself, we agreed to meet with him. And you know, I found something really strange happening to me. This man left us. He forsook us. He never was there to take care of us. He wasn't there to feed us, to clothe us. But all of a sudden, I was really conflicted about this. All of a sudden, I, for some reason, wanted him to be proud of me because he was my dad. I am his son. And there was an emotion that really kind of bothered me, because I thought, why should I care? But I want you to know something. Bless God. I've got a Father in heaven that I wanted my God and my Father. I just say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Bless God, I'll tell you what, I want my Father to be pleased with me. But you know, it goes on and says this, if my people which are called by my name, Now, if this microphone's bothering you, I'll turn it off because you don't need this to hear me anyways. Said, my people which are called by my name. As I thought about that, you know something, we need to respect who we represent. Amen. Now listen, I'm going to say it this way. If we are the children of God, we need to act like the children of God. We need to not want to bring a reproach upon the name of our Father which is in heaven. You know, when I went at the place that I work, they have what's called a code of conduct. In the position that I have, I work with outside suppliers, outside vendors, but also work with the fellow employees. And there is a code of conduct that says, listen, when you're on the phone or you're in the other person's plant or their office, you represent our company, and you need to represent it as something that you're proud of, to be an honored, and you treat people with respect. A church that's internal and that's external. And I'm going to say it this way. The Bible says that the Lord probably said it this way. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, because you have love one for another. Listen, the world's going to know if we are God's children by the way we treat each other. Well, Brother Eugene, he goes to this church in Middleburg Heights. But listen, if we are the part of the family of God, shouldn't we act like the family of God? Shouldn't we love one another? When the world comes into the church, bless your heart, buddy, it's good to see you. When the world comes into the church, do they see a group of people that love one another, that care for one another, that are there for one another? Do they see love? Bless God, I'll tell you what, they shouldn't come in the house of God and see strife. They shouldn't come in the house of God and see people that can't get along. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you are sitting on that side and you can't talk to somebody over there, you need to get your heart right with God. Because we're representing somebody that's far greater than us. How we're representing our Father which is in heaven. Listen, the scripture says this. For here, even hereunto, were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Now, if we got Christ as our example, and Christ said, listen, I've come to this earth to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Listen, they criticized Christ because he went out and he spent time among sinners and publicans. Now listen, I'm not saying that you go to the same places sometimes that they go, but we're to show the love of Christ inside the church, outside the church. We need to remember, and we need to show respect to the God that we serve by the way that we live our lives. You know, the people in the place you work, they're watching you. Your family's watching you. And they want to see if you really believe what you believe. We need to respect. Boy, I could really get into something on that, but we'll go on. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You know, one thing that concerns me as a pastor is when I don't see the altar being used. And I'm not just talking about the lost. I'm talking about the saints of God. We want revival, but we don't want to seek. We want revival, but we don't want to pray.
We want revival, but we don't want to respond to the invitation. Bless God, I'll tell you what. The invitation, if my people which are called for my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Church, when we begin to seek, that is getting in there and begin to search and to look and try to get as close to God as we can. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Bless God, I'll tell you what, when the invitation is given, we need to respond to what God is calling us to do. We need not go into a far country. We need not go home without responding. We need to hear what the Lord is saying. We need to respond. God desires to bring the revival to his people, but how can he bring revival if we don't respond? He says, listen, but you know what? Our response has to be God's way. Well, not this Sunday, next Sunday. No. If God's calling you to respond tonight, tonight is the night to respond. There may not be a next Sunday for you. Oh, you say, preacher, it's Thursday. Sunday will be here in a couple of days. Bless God. One thing I know is the Bible says there's one step between me and death. I was out hunting one night, and it got dark on me, and I was in an unfamiliar territory. And I began to walk out of there, and I knew which way to go. I thought I did. And I just had a little mini mag flashlight. I was walking down a ravine, and all of a sudden that flashlight, it didn't hit anything. Boy, I stopped and I began to look around, and I was standing on the edge of a cliff. One more step, I most likely I would have fell to my death. I want you to know something. That night, that scripture, there's one step between me and death, I became a reality. We need to respond why God is calling, but we need to respond God's way. He said, listen, humble yourself. Boy, that's hard in the day and time that we live in. We live in a prideful world, among a prideful people, among a stiff-necked people that want to say, look at me. Instead of doing like Dustin said, don't look at me, look at God. Because it's all about him. The scripture says God resists the proud but giveth grace to the humble. If you come, how many of you have seen somebody come to the altar, get up from the altar smiling and chewing their bubble gum and laughing? That's not a broken heart. That's not a contrite spirit. That's not coming before God humbly. You know why we don't come before God humbly? It's because we don't think that we have anything to respond to. We don't think that we have any sin upon our lives. We don't think that we have failed God. But my Bible teaches me there is none righteous, no, not one. So we need to respond. So far we have. Remember, respect, and respond. Now, you know, you think respond would be the same as repenting. No. I made a comment about those that come up and they get up smiling and laughing. But on the other hand, I've seen others come and their hearts broken. The tears begin to flow from their eyes. And somebody say, well, how many people got saved at the revival? And the answer, well, I'll tell you next year. Because if they truly got saved, bless God, next year you'll find them still in the house of God. If they truly repented, listen, repentance isn't coming to the altar. Repentance isn't saying, Lord, forgive me, and then getting up, going out the door, and living the same old way. To repent means to turn from our sins, to be different, to come to God and say, God, I am sorry, and God, I vow that I'm going to live my life for you. God, you've been so good to me. I want to serve you the rest of my days. Dustin said 5 years old when he got saved. Bless God. God has blessed him because he has held on. Patrick Morley wrote in a book, now listen to this closely. He said, the church's integrity's problem is the misconception that we can add Christ to our lives but not subtract sin. It is a change in belief without a change in behavior. He goes on to say, it's revival without reformation, without repentance. David hid his sin from God when he sinned against Bathsheba. He had Uriah killed for almost a year. He had hid his sin, thinking that he had gotten away with it. But one day God sent a messenger by the name of Nathan. And Nathan began to tell a story. He told a story how that there was a rich man that had great herds. And then there was a poor man that had one little ewe lamb. And he loved that lamb. And that lamb lived in their family. He slept with that lamb. It's all that he had. But one day the rich man had a visitor come by his house. And the rich man took the poor man's lamb. And he slew it and fed it to his friend. And then David looked at Nathan and said, that man shall surely die. And Nathan said, thou art the man. Bless God, we need to hear more messages that says, thou art the man. And for a year, David thought he had gotten away with the sin until the message came. Then David prayed this, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. You know what that word wash me thoroughly means? I'll give you an illustration. When I was growing up, Mom said, go in and get ready for school. I'd come out from school, from getting ready. She'd walk up behind me, and I know this probably never happened to anybody else. She'd look behind my ears. Next thing you know, here she came with the washcloth. And I thought by the time she was done, I wasn't going to have an ear left. Man, she scrubbed and she scrubbed and she scrubbed. And this is what David is saying. Lord, my sin has made me so filthy in your eyes. God, wash me thoroughly. Keep washing and keep washing and keep washing. Listen, from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. I acknowledge my transgressions. Church, I want you to know something. We're living in a day and time where pride keeps us from acknowledging our sins against God. You see, when we sin, that hurts. When we sin against our Father, we bring a reproach upon His name, and that'll break our hearts. But instead of dealing with it, we want to be like David, and we want to cover it up. He said, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. You know what he was saying? When I turned this way, my sin was there. I would try to change and go a different way, but my sin was there. I would go this way, but my sin was there. I want you to know something. You can try to sugarcoat it. You can try to cover it up. You can try to deny it. But when we know we have sin in our lives, we need to repent of that sin, acknowledge that we have sinned against God, and ask God, listen, he says this, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be white as snow. Now purge me with hyssop. What does that mean? Two different viewpoints on that. Do you remember when the children of Egypt, the night that they were going to, children of Israel going to leave Egypt, they were to slay the lamb, they were to take the hyssop, dip it in the blood, and apply the blood to the lintels. That way when the death angel passed by, they would be safe from the death angel. When you talk about hyssop, it refers to applying the blood. Now when a leper was diagnosed with leprosy, when it came time for his cleansing, they would be examined by the priest, and they would determine whether they were clean or not. And if they were clean, they would take two doves, they would slay the one, and then they would dip the blood of the slain dove on the one that was alive and let it fly away, representing that the blood had cleansed the leper. I want you to know something. We still need to claim the blood of Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no salvation. There is no deliverance. Except that we have the blood applied to our lives. Well, I'll tell you what. Sister Tammy Jones Robinette went to sing at this large church. And pastor came up to her, said, "Sister Tammy, we'd appreciate if you don't sing any songs about the blood." She said, "Pastor, most of my songs are about the blood. Why don't you want them sung?" "Well, the blood offends people." Boy, I'll tell you what. I thank God for the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, that washed me whiter than snow. I thank God for the cleansing power that still flows from the throne of God. Except there be the blood applied, there is no healing. Thank God we can say, "Wash me with thy hyssop, apply the blood to our lives." Well, glory! I'm not so nervous anymore. Woo! God is so good. Whew. We need to repent of our sins. We need to pour our hearts out. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God will heal us of the sins in our lives. But we got to admit, we've got sins in our lives. I know all of us are perfect. I know all of us are just look how good I am. I'm telling you, without the blood, there is no cleansing. Wash me. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. What a blessing to know. And then I'm already at my last point. You see, there we need to remember who we are, respect who we represent, respond to the invitation, repent from our sins, and listen to the last point. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will hear them. Their land. The response from God. Boy, you gotta love this. Zacchaeus was up a tree without any hope until Jesus came by. And said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." You see, Zacchaeus was seeking a Savior in Jesus Christ, and he couldn't see for the multitude. But bless God, he found a tree, and he wasn't going to let anything stand in his way. Bless God, when he climbed a tree, Jesus walked by. He didn't have to ask who that man was. He didn't walk by and ignore him, but he looked up in there and he called him by name. Bless God, when we get sincere, when we begin to seek God, the promise is God will hear. God's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not deafened that he cannot hear. But our iniquities have separated us. But boy, when we begin to pray, God will come on the scene. Uncle Leroy, now not my real uncle, so don't get. He came from one of them undignified churches that like to praise the Lord. And when he left from where he was at, he found a new church, and it was one of them dignified places. You know, the ones that you could hear a pin drop. Well, that wasn't Uncle Leroy's style. Uncle Leroy would be sitting there in church, and he would open his Bible, and he would read a verse, like verse 14, and he would get to the part that would say, listen, then when I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will hear their land. Boy, oh, Uncle Leroy, I would take a shouting spell. Well, glory! Praise God! He heard my cry. And you know what? They didn't like Uncle Leroy for that. So they would take him in the back room and they'd talk to him. The next Sunday, here goes Uncle Leroy again. So finally, they come up with a plan. We'll just take Uncle Leroy's Bible away from him. Then he won't have anything to praise the Lord about. Well, they'd get in church. Uncle Leroy wasn't a good singer, but he'd pick up a song. It's amazing that I just turned to the 570. He's been so good to me. Well, glory! And Uncle Leroy, I would take another shouting spell. He's been so good to me. Glory to God! And he would praise the Lord. Back to the back room he would go. So the next week they took the songbook away from him. He'd go to church. I'm telling you, it didn't take Uncle Leroy much to praise the Lord. Someone would say, the Lord answered a prayer. Guess where Uncle Leroy was? He was on his feet, praising the Lord and glorifying God. So finally they come up with the ultimate plan. This plan has got to work. The next Sunday, when Uncle Leroy walked in the church, there was the deacons. You know, now if you're a deacon, don't blame me. But there was a deacon, and he was standing there waiting for him. And they took him back to a classroom. I said, Uncle Leroy, during church service, we want you to sit back here. You're not going to interrupt our services anymore. There's not going to be any more shouting, any more praising God. Uncle Leroy said, okay, what do I do while I'm back here? He said, well, here's a National Geographic. Read this. They began service singing one of their dried up dead songs. All of a sudden you hear from the back room, glory! Praise the Lord! 32,000 feet! 32,000 feet! Praise the Lord! Everybody in the church, they're looking at each other. The deacons run back there. I said, Uncle Leroy, now what are you doing? He said, 32,000 feet! 32,000 feet! I said, Uncle Leroy, what about it? He said, this National Geographic told me that the sea is 32,000 feet. And the scripture says, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Bless God, if we'll repent of our sins, if we'll seek God and humbly bow before Him, all of our sins are going to be cast into the depths of the sea. Well, glory! You know, when you get to 32,000 feet, nobody can get to it. Even in modern technology, they can't even. The Lord put them in there and put up a no fishing sign. You see, the promise is, the response from God is, He will hear from heaven when we get sincere with God. He will forgive their sins. Church, if you're here and you're saved, do you remember the night that you bowed before an almighty God? January 25th, 1976, at the age of 15, I met a man by the name of Jesus. And thank God, when I prayed that night, he nodded. Can I say it this way? 32,000 feet. My sins were cast away from me. 32,000 feet. The writings and the ordinances that were against me. Jesus Christ took them and he nailed them to his cross. Bless God. The rap sheet was a mile long. When I went to that altar that night, all the sins were listed. But when I got up, thank God, the rap sheet was empty. My sins were gone. 32,000 feet, they were gone. Well, glory. Woo! Boy, ain't God good. I almost feel like preaching tonight. Boy, ain't God good. And I'm going to ask this. Church tonight, do you remember whose child you are? By earthly standards, my dad was a drunk. His dad before him and his dad before him. But thank God, Jesus delivered me before I even took my first drink. And I've not had one since, by the way. We need to respect who we represent. Is your life pleasing to your Father in heaven? Are you living in a way that honors Him in the workplace, in the line in the mall, in the parking lots, on the freeways? That one's hard. I'll give you that. Then we need to respond to the invitation. I didn't ask your pastor, but I believe there's going to be an invitation tonight. Because we always should give somebody an opportunity to pray. But unless you respond. But I'm going to tell you, it's not enough to come up here and pray. That's the response. Repentance brings the victory. We need to repent of our sins. And thank God when we do that, there's going to be a response from God. I'm going to tell you, the night I got saved, I didn't understand theology. I couldn't have told you very much at all about the scriptures. But I can tell you what I knew. I was lost and I needed a Savior. And you know, that's all I needed to know. And when I knelt that night, God responded. I couldn't tell you what happened, but I knew something changed in my life. I went back to school the next day. I'm going to ask Brother Eugene, Pastor, come. They can get a song. But I went back to the school that next day and I told some of the friends that I ran around with. I said, I got saved last night. And they looked at me and they said, what's that? I didn't know really how to answer that. But this was my response. Well, you see, it's kind of like this. The things that I used to like, I don't like them anymore. And the things that I used to make fun of, I love those things now. You know, I made fun of a shouting Christian. Man, I can remember I was sitting in the back of the church, had never really gone to a spiritual church before, playing a game with my cousin like kids do, and Sister Norma let out a shout like it scared me to death. I thought that poor woman's dying. But thank God, when I met Jesus, I realized that there is a power there worth rejoicing. Amen. Let me ask you something. Have you been called by the name of God? Have you been washed in the pure blood of Jesus Christ? If you haven't, tonight would be a good night to get saved. Today is the day of salvation. Because you don't have a promise of tomorrow. If you're a Christian, has this message from the Word of God touched your life? And you realize, I need to move up. I need my life to be pleasing unto God. Tonight would be a good night to pray for all of us, if we'd be honest.